I have no real idea what you guys are talking about, but I'm down. Sure.
Talking about ousting you from the network.
Okay, great.
You get paid too much and we don't like it.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. That's Pablo Torre and Katie Nolan. She's firing shots right off the bat. Let's get started.
The people need to know.
I am at least 10% underpaid.
Should the Titans have to forfeit a game for breaking COVID protocol?
All right, so the structural integrity of football has already been compromised. Katie's Patriots were at a competitive disadvantage. They contained the outbreak, but their most important player got a positive test, and so they end up flying on two planes the day of to the Chiefs, and they end up losing because they don't have their quarterback, while the Titans get rest, while the Titans don't get punished in any way, even though they've had a total outbreak. So you're basically getting rewarded so far for an outbreak, and you're getting punished for containing it. You can't have that. But everything's on the table because of the bare naked greed involved here. We will move games for hurricanes. We will move games for fires. We will find the place to play the games for money, no matter how many bodies we have to send into the sickness. This is something that is rare, that you get it this bare naked. They're going to get to their money just like baseball got to their money. And it doesn't matter if they have to compromise the structural integrity. Maybe they go with forfeits. Maybe they go with winning percentages. It doesn't seem like all the teams are going to end up playing 16 games.
Yeah, this is such a difficult thing to deal with for the league, and they should be better at it. I want to be clear about that too. But it's so difficult because they don't want to have to punish anybody for anything. And a forfeit is the nightmare scenario because, as Dan alludes to, that means you're losing a game, a televised game worth millions and millions of dollars to make a point. And the point is really important, right? The point is that, hey, NFL players, college football players, young athletes, you may be fine. But the thing we learned 7 months ago about this virus, that, you know, if you're asymptomatic and otherwise healthy, you can invisibly and easily spread it to people who are going to suffer from it to the tune of maybe 210,000 deaths plus and counting. That is the issue. So I want there to be a point made, but this for the NFL is like dealing with their kids, right? And their kids who are like staying out late and partying and doing all that stuff. And the parents in this metaphor are saying, hey, if you don't stay in and abide by curfew, we're going to sell our house at a discount. Like, it punishes themselves more than it does the kids. And that's the bind the NFL is in right now.
Well, the bind the NFL is in right now is that we're asking questions about protocol that is entirely unclear. If you have an actual protocol, then we would know what happens in this situation when a team tests positive. But instead, we're in a situation where some places are reporting that maybe a forfeit is on the table, and other places are reporting that that's not going to be on the table because we don't really know. And the other thing is, we may know that there's an outbreak happening with the Titans, but we don't know how many other teams have broken protocol and just happened to have not gotten it, but could still continue to get it in the future. The other thing that's important is that the Tennessee Titans, what they violated was they gathered for a workout. We may be talking about players who are playing football, a sport that we've all said is very difficult and you have to play at a very high competitive level. They're not feeling like they're getting enough practice, enough workout. They're not in good enough shape. So they gather to, they're not partying, they're working out. And it's like, how do you punish them for wanting to be good at football when what we're really learning here is that maybe football shouldn't have moved ahead? And if it did, it certainly needed a much stronger protocol. And now they're in a pickle with fairness of the game and equity across the league. It's just, this is a huge mess of their own creation.
And that is a good point, Katie, because in my metaphor, I'm talking about the kids misbehaving and all that. But in this case, in reality, they're doing exactly what you say. These football players are merely doing what they have been trained to do and coached to do their entire lives, which is play football at any cost necessary. Practice, get better at any cost necessary. Unfortunately, in this case, the cost can be a life.
It's a very dark note to end on. Does anyone want to say something funny?
We need the joke at the end.
Oh. The cost could be a life.
Hold on, hold on.
The cost could be a death.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yep.
Are you cool with J.J. Watt deciding to fire Bill O'Brien?
Oh, Captain America, that was the last straw. Any number of players could have had problems with Bill O'Brien. Hopkins, you're out of here. But when you mess with Captain America, then all of a sudden there's a player revolt. Now, we should have seen this coming, okay? Because during the offseason, J.J. Watt answered a question about Bill O'Brien's coaching so carefully that it told you everything you needed to know. This is laugh out loud funny.
You're there on the inside. What makes Bill O'Brien a good head coach? He's got two new play callers with him. It's a little bit different role. What makes him good at leading this team?
I think his job is to do just that, is to lead the team, is to obviously he's more of an offensive guy, a defensive guy. So it's to lead the overall team, but then to lead the offense. And now
what?
It's other roles as well, is to general manager, is to do everything within the organization. That's his role, and I think that's what obviously he excels at.
The discomfort. Don't even listen to the words. Just watch the discomfort, like the fiddling with the hat, the soothing of the body. That was an uncomfortable place that J.J. Watt was in, and now the reports are that after starting with games against Kansas City and Baltimore and Pittsburgh and starting 0-4, that they were done with him. And I understand why they'd be done with him. We've all been questioning Bill O'Brien for a while from the outside because he got Laremy Tunsil in exchange for next year's number one and number two that now go to the Miami Dolphins while getting DeAndre Hopkins out of there, but not getting something commensurate with that. So basically he traded a lot more for Laremy Tunsil than he got for DeAndre Hopkins. And that's where you start with some of this stuff. He built a team that's a little bit broken, and the credibility that he had is lost with us and his players.
It must be noted with that video that J.J. Watt is very good at that. It reminds me of a couple years ago when I asked him about Brock Osweiler, his quarterback, and wanted to see him fumble, for lack of a better word, for a way to describe him without actually describing the reality of him. And he does it, and he does it very well, which is why it's so remarkable when we see him sort of not doing that anymore, posting a picture of the sun shining through onto Energy Stadium after Bill O'Brien is fired. He's sort of stepping out of his usual polished media, I don't even know what you call it, where you basically just describe what a coach and a general manager does because you don't want to talk about what this coach and this general manager do. There were other players on the team too. Deshaun Watson, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but his point basically boiled down to like, well, it's a business and things happen, which is not the tone. You always hear players go above and beyond to be like, you hate to see the coach leave. And that's not really happening here. So while I'm sure if you know how these things work, you know Bill O'Brien will probably get another job somewhere else, I think it's worth noting that Romeo Crennel now is the interim coach, and he's been an interim head coach before, but he's also been on this team. He's not a new guy that they're bringing in. Obviously, that's how an interim coach works. And if he can motivate this team, who already knows him, who if they had an issue with him, it will remain. If he can motivate this team, that would be a really good argument that maybe Romeo Crennel should be getting looks for head coaching gigs in the future.
So I want to point out that I do think J.J. Watt is good at that kind of rhetorical technique Katie described, but his goodness is mostly an indictment of us because it was and is effective, but only if the people listening are expecting so little. It's like a defense attorney is asked, is your client guilty? And the attorney goes, my client's job is to be not guilty. My client's job is to be not guilty, which is defined as not committing crimes. And then he just sort of continues on from there. What's especially nuts about this, though, is that the owner of the Texans is Cal McNair. He should not have needed a J.J. Watt revolt to make this call. In fact, Bill O'Brien, for reasons that are now obvious to everybody, should never have had both the head coach and GM title in the first place because you have a conflict of interest there, right? As Dan said, send out all the draft picks in the future because guess what? Bill O'Brien, the head coach, he's Mr. Present. He needs all that help right now. And instead, what we get is a disaster like this. And Katie is bringing up Romeo Crennel, which makes me realize that the only guy who has that title now, I think, actually besides Ron Rivera, who was given it by a desperate franchise, is of course Bill Belichick, who is head coach and GM and is great at it. You know who is not good at any of the stuff related to coaching football? The people who have worked for Bill Belichick. The idea that that guy did all of that with Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien and the assemblage of other dudes, that is the greatest testament to the New England Patriots that exists.
Coming up next on my son Stevie show.
Just know that what Tom Brady does, literally, is have his center put baby powder and a towel in his nether region.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Will Tom Brady be washed again if he loses to Nick Foles and the Bears? Again?
All right, slightly better game than Jets and Broncos River of Sewage that they gave us last Thursday. And what you're going to end up seeing with Tom Brady, I think, over the course of this season, as he ages differently than anyone in the history of quarterbacking or anyone in the history of youth, is you're going to see inconsistency from a guy who has been remarkably consistent for his career. The way the aging process is supposed to work with normally aging athletes is that you can still bring it on occasion. You just can't bring it as brilliantly as consistently. It's why Shaquille O'Neal referred to himself as the big Aristotle. You are what you consistently do. As he ages at 43 years old, you're going to see more pick sixes, and you're going to see on occasion the Tom Brady who responded from that pick six last week by going 15 of 16 for four touchdowns and 250 yards.
I did not have Dan Levitard being the person on this show to accurately quote Aristotle, but that was, in fact, an accurate quote of Aristotle. I would say that Tom Brady aging differently is my focus here because, on the one hand, he has actually been fine, more than fine this season, right? Three touchdowns 2 weeks ago, five touchdowns last week. The Buccaneers may well win this division ahead of the Saints. They look like the best team so far. But in terms of how Tom Brady is aging, there was a story in this ESPN.com piece by Jenna Lane that will never dislodge itself from my brain because apparently Tom Brady really doesn't like the sweatiness of the center that he receives the football from. So when we joke about how Tom Brady is the old guy and all of his teammates are relative babies, just know that what Tom Brady does literally is have his center put baby powder and a towel in his nether region so that Tom Brady can receive the ball in the way that he prefers.
Courteous.
And he's also never eaten a strawberry. The man is obviously strange and weird, but the question is he washed? And the answer, though the petty in me would like to say yes, because of course, when you get in a big fight with your old best friend, you want to see something bad happen to them for a little. You want to see other people realize that they're not that great. But the reality in me is like, he's 43 years old. He threw five touchdowns in a game. And this brings up the real issue with this question. We have to stop taking words we hear on the internet and saying them in context where they do not belong. Words have meaning, right? You don't throw five touchdowns in a game and are washed or are washed again, which doesn't even make sense. Like defending a woman on the internet does not make you a simp. And most importantly, one that I know bothers Mina and I is when people say this didn't age well. The point of that is supposed to be to take a tweet that was sent in a completely different context that now looks bad given some new revelation that we have about you. It's not, I think the Titans are going to win and then the Titans lose and you're like, this didn't age. It doesn't work. Words have meaning and it's very important that we keep to those meanings so that communication does not break down.
Wow, Katie, Thank you. Answer was super lit.
I just love that Katie respected the question and obsessed about the word washed. And Pablo wants us to forget that all he did in that segment was say that Tom Brady's center should wash. He should wash because Tom Brady doesn't like his nether regions. Like, that was not very good analysis from Pablo. He just wanted to tell you something that was interesting that had nothing to do with the question.
Don't be fooled, by the way. Dan is like, wait a minute. Baby powder in a towel cures nether region sweating. Interesting. Wonderful. Note to self.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if Dylan Moses' little brother should be allowed to play against eighth graders?
All right, before we get to the eighth grade brother of the prodigy from Alabama, Dylan Thomas, maybe the best player they have on their team, and has been great at football since he was 13 years old. Let's check in with the six-year-old who isn't 6 years old.
Wait, 6 years old?
Yes, watch this. Watch this here. This is horrifying right here.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Just a great white shark.
What?
And then, lest you think that that's ridiculous, let's check in with a 10-year-old with my body type out there.
What?
He's, wait a minute, he's 10? He seems to be two 10-year-olds stacked on top of each other inside a football uniform.
Yes, inside of a football uniform. Let's check in here with Dylan's brother.
Oh. I mean, what was the play call here? I mean.
Oh, my God. Just the sad claps.
Everybody gets a chance. You get a broken tackle. You get a missed tackle. I would say it's detrimental to him to play with eighth graders. He should be on varsity.
Go talk to that kid who's still in traction because he tried to arm tackle whoever that large child is. I feel like he might be hampered more than anybody.
No, because that kid's going to know, okay, football, not for me. I'm going to start working towards this other career goal.
Also, not to be myself here, out Aristotle and now Dylan Thomas, but Dan went Dylan Thomas instead of Dylan Moses. And that is a beautifully poetic error because I just wanted to quote Dylan Thomas watching that video. That kid would not go gentle into that good night. He would not.
For the love of God.
In fact, he rendered everybody else unconscious.
This runs in the family because he's all grown up now, but when he was 14, Dylan Moses looked like this when he was standing next to Leonard Fournette, who at the time was the number one recruit in the land. He was 230 pounds. That's Leonard Fournette as a high school senior is not as large as Dylan Moses at 14.
I just can't relate. Eighth grade was very different for me.
Oh, man. Yeah, when did you hit your growth spurt, Katie? It was a bit of a slow climb.
Probably between eighth grade and freshman year. But it was like a growth. It was almost like a hair growth spurt because I had that little boy haircut from first grade through eighth grade. And so when I showed up freshman year finally with hair, it was a change of pace for me.
Do you question the value of acquiring this skill?
All right,
yes.
Let's see what we have here. Yes is a good way to answer that without even knowing what this is. Let's
in
see
general,
what this
it is
acquired
yes.
skill is right here.
Okay, I stand by it.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Is you happening?
You thought he was wearing a cup.
His name is what?
For the uninitiated, his name is Mr. Iron Crotch. I don't know what the name of those guys next
names?
To him is. Yeah, I don't know.
My only wish is that I had been initiated sooner. This is a hard way to discover that this content has been being made all these years.
Oh, that guy looked like he might have been struggling with it.
Katie said, what is the name of the rest of them? Clearly, those are the Iron Crotches, the entire family, several generations of Mr. Iron Crotch and all of his relatives.
That is extraordinarily useful, however, if there's any skill that metaphorically resembles what we should all be able to do in the year 2020, it's take a giant wooden swinging pole right to the crotch.
And if there's anything else that sums up 2020, it's referring to being able to take a shot in the crotch as a skill. That's not a skill. You've built up a tolerance, sure, but I wouldn't say that you're highly skilled because somebody can just take a shot.
I would love to have that as a nickname, honestly. I would love if people called me Mr. Iron Crotch.
Tonight at 9:08 p.m. Eastern, Game 3, Dodgers and Padres.
These teams are really good, both of them. I mean, I know you know the Dodgers are good, but the Padres are really good as well. And let's watch how the Dodgers won last night. First of all, you get this in a playoff game. It's super rare. Cody Bellinger, that's Tatis hitting the ball a long way. And Bellinger,
crazy.
Just steals it.
Pointing. Yeah. Pointing before he lands?
Oh, is it?
Oh, there it is.
Yes, yeah. It is in the process.
He's got to feel pretty good about that. And now let's check in here with the pitcher here, Brustar Graterol. He is reacting to that, and you may see that Manny Machado. Yes.
Wait a minute. What? This is a. He went Mary Tyler Moore with his hat.
It looks like he's saying "F you." I'm a something. I wish I could lip read. That seems like a useful skill.
Well, no, I think you got the gist of it. Yeah. I think the "F you" is what was the general demeanor was spitting a lot of "F you" at him. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to know what the other. Maybe he was like "F you," and but we can work through this as friends. You can't tell though. It's a very valuable skill. There.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because the most underrated part of the clip is the pitcher. Not just for the celebration, but because that's a dude who throws 100 miles an hour with movement. He was throwing balls 99 with no problem. And the funny part about all of this, of course, is that he is the pitcher in the Mookie Betts trade that the Red Sox did not want because they didn't think his physical was up to snuff. So congratulations, Boston. Real good decision there.
What's up with the show today? Okay, I have it. It was a variation of this. From first grade through eighth grade.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Young Katie Nolan, ladies and gentlemen.
That bring haircut. It back.
Just she imagine. Imagine said, your sixth, seventh, and eighth grade experience and then put haircut. That haircut on it and see how it goes for you. Look at those sideburns.
We're out of time. That's Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. Find her, Sports with a Question Mark. Find him, ESPN Daily. Thank you for watching.
Please be my friend.